For nearly 150 years, America's oldest continuously family-run chocolate company has been making artisan chocolate for home bakers, pastry chefs, and confectioners alike. They've been evolving and redefining themselves for the past century and a half, and now Amy Guittard, whose great-great-grandfather founded the company, has written the Guittard Chocolate Cookbook, decadent recipes from San Francisco's premium bean-to-bar chocolate company, and it's a pleasure to welcome Amy Guittard to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, it is very nice to have you. Let me know, as we begin, what it means when you say bean to bar.
Well, bean to bar is oftentimes a term that's used kind of in the industry, but has trickled down into the consumer world as well. And it's basically how we talk about what we do, which is bringing beans into our factory and crafting chocolate that we then give to confectioners, pastry chefs, and other wholesalers to use in kind of the end goal of chocolate. But, you know, a lot of people get it confused. They'll refer to us as chocolatiers, which we're not quite, because we just make chocolate and we leave the rest of the artistry up to those guys who know best how to celebrate the flavor in that final stage.
So what does that do in bringing the beans and to the bar, and ultimately what is the advantage in that?
Well, you know, it's kind of just a different part of the supply chain and how we make chocolate. So we go to origin, which just basically goes meeting with farmers on the ground and learning about how they cultivate their trees and their plants and their cocoa. There's a lot of flavor development that happens on the farm. So it's not just growing a tree and harvesting the beans, but it's the fermentation and the drying that really imparts a particular flavor on the beans, as well as a terroir. It's very similar to kind of wine, as a lot of people are familiar with, but different beans from different regions have lots of different flavors, and so it's our job to source those beans and make sure that what we're getting is the highest quality, but also a diverse kind of flavor profile that allows us to blend them in different ways. So we'll source the beans, we'll bring them in, we'll taste them, test them, and if they meet our quality standards, we'll accept the lot, and then we'll craft it into chocolate, which is what we do in our factory, which is about 10 miles south of San Francisco, where we'll bring the beans in, we'll roast them, we'll grind them, we'll refine them, we'll conch them, and then we'll deposit them into wafers or chocolate chips or bars that we'll then send out to our customers or to our consumers who can then bake with them at home.
What is it about a particular lot? And I would think there is a balance to have the consistency when you're talking about something that is natural, of course.
Yeah, you know, it's one of the things that always brings excitement to what we do, in that every bean that we taste is always different, but what we seek is that consistency, and we test everything before we accept it, just to make sure that it meets our quality standards. We've got really strong relationships with a lot of our farmers and suppliers that allows us to have consistency, because they know sort of what our quality requirements are. But yeah, I mean, there's always fluctuations, and that's sort of what makes us, you know, being flexible enough in how we craft to be able to kind of address those fluctuations.
What did you want to accomplish with the book, which is another way of saying, are these recipes that you wanted to discover or that you had had for a long time?
You know, the book really is a sort of log of our family history. And when I say family, I mean, you know, family of customers, family of suppliers, family of, you know, employees. We've got second, third generations of employees who even work at our factory. So a lot of the recipes in the book are celebrating the recipes that we've been using in our family to, you know, play around with the chocolate that we make in our factory. And, you know, I'm an avid home baker and have been for most of my life. And so it was really fun for me to take the recipes that I've grown up baking with and tell the story behind them and be able to give those stories to, you know, other families and other home bakers who can make their own memories based off of what we make.
Is chocolate a rather easy ingredient to use?
You know, it's not, I wouldn't necessarily say it's easy, I think baking in general can oftentimes be a very intimidating endeavor, but there is always the opportunity. I think the more comfortable you get with it, the more you can kind of sort of play around with different types of chocolates. You know, even if you look at our product line, we make hundreds of SKUs, but even on our consumer side, we have like three different semi-sweet baking chips. We have a 63% cacao, we have a 55% fair trade certified cacao baking chip, and then we also have a 46% baking chip. So even within that range, you have a multitude of flavor profiles and different sorts of ways that they can, that they would come to life in, say, a chocolate chip cookie. Not to mention, you know, a baking wafer, which if you make a chocolate chip cookie from a baking wafer, it's going to look and taste very different from a cookie with a baking chip. It's going to be a little bit flatter just because it's a wafer and has a bit more cocoa butter in it than, say, a chocolate chip, which has less cocoa butter and is a little bit, you know, going to act as almost an architectural structural component to your cookie. So, you know, even with those variables, there's lots of different things that you can play with. And I think it's just a matter of getting comfortable in the kitchen and having the confidence to be able to explore different types of chocolate and different recipes.
There are some amazing recipes in the book, and I'd like to go over some of the highlights. Let's talk about pumpkin chocolate chip cookies to begin with. How did you come to this particular recipe?
You know, I've been baking those pumpkin chocolate chip cookies since I was in high school, and it was actually inspired by a friend of mine who was baking a pumpkin chocolate chip bread, and then she kind of tried to make some cookies, and so I took her recipe and played around with it, and it's morphed into so many different sorts of iterations over the years. I think one time it appeared with some white chocolate chips in it, and then, you know, I made it accidentally with buckwheat flour once, and you know, so, but the recipe that appears in the book is kind of the tried and true. I take it to pretty much any sort of event that I'm going to, whether it's a book club or a family potluck, but it's certainly a staple recipe that I make, and one that's really fun for the holidays because it's got that pumpkin in it
and a little bit of cinnamon and nutmeg are going to add to that, aren't they? That,
yeah,
seasonal,
exactly,
flair.
Yeah.
And yep. And you say in that recipe that it is one that certainly stands up well to improvisation.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. And the reason I say that is because I've made it with full whole wheat fat flour. I've also split it whole wheat and all purpose, which is what appears in the book. But I've also used other alternate flours just to try and play around. And of course, it's going to change the texture quite a bit. Those are the kinds of things that. You know, you can't expect the same result just by interchanging certain things, but that's what experimenting in the kitchen's all about, is trying new things and seeing what the result is and maybe dialing back, you know, some baking soda or adding a bit more salt, things like that, just to adjust and complement some of the other flavors that you might add in. But the recipe that appears in the book has gotten the stamp of approval of all my taste testers, so...
Of course, it seems that salted caramel is becoming more and more popular. You have a recipe in the book for salted chocolate shortbread. What is it about salt that adds something?
You know, I think there's something about salt that, you know, when you add it on, it almost can act as a heightened palate. It kind of makes out those flavors sort of sing and dance a bit more, and it's also a little bit of an unexpected note. Like I'll add a sprinkling of sea salt even on my pumpkin chocolate chip cookies, just because I think it adds a little bit of a fun sort of end palette, and it's, you know, it's very subtle, and you know, it's not everyone loves it, but I think it's fun to play around with.
As you say, you mentioned a moment ago, and I wanted to ask you this because I asked this of all people who deal with chocolate in one way or another. What is the family line on white chocolate?
Oh, gosh. Well, white chocolate is one of those things where, you know, I think chocolate is defined as the solids that are in it. And so, you know, when you've got white chocolate, it technically has to contain at least about 20% of pure cocoa butter, and then a minimum of about 15% milk solids. We've got a pretty significant sort of chocolate-making terms in the book to help people navigate these things. But, you know, white chocolate contains cocoa butter from the cocoa bean, which is the main component, along with milk and sugar and other ingredients. So, it doesn't necessarily contain any of the chocolate liquor that's used to make like milk chocolate or dark chocolate. But, you know, white chocolate can only be considered white chocolate because it's got cocoa butter in it. Anyone that's calling white chocolate and doesn't have cocoa butter in it is, you know, not being true.
That's wrong. Well, the name of the book is Guitard Chocolate Cookbook, Decadent Recipes from San Francisco's Premium Bean to Bar Chocolate Company. The book is published by Chronicle. Amy Guitard, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book is The Guitard Chocolate Cookbook, and it's published by Chronicle. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.